Good being God's house. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And I do. I've got a couple burdens on my heart. I got some things on my mind that's kind of weighing down on me, and I've been prayerful about it. And probably at the end of the service, when I'm going to go down to one of these altars and I'm going to pray. So you can decide during the preaching, number one, if you've got something on your heart, something on your mind, something that's heavy on you, and you want to pray with me, you can come down here and pray with me. Or if you would just think, you know what, I'm going to go down and pray for Brother Mike, you can come down here and pray with me. How's that sound? Does that sound okay? So anyway, I want you to be thinking about that, because that's how we're going to close the service out. We're going to close it out with prayer, because I want to have a little talk with Jesus today. Amen? I need it, and it's not for me, okay? But it is weighing on me, and they're just, I don't know, they may not be any big deals. But I just feel a burden from the Lord this morning. And let's pray about it. Let's pray for the man mowing the grass this morning. Amen? Exodus chapter 20. Now, I mean that. Pray for him. Okay? He's out there mowing the grass, which means he's not where? Okay? And so anyway, you pray for him. But let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to ask you again this morning, do you believe the Bible? Say amen. Now, I'm going to call you on the carpet this morning, because that's just kind of the mood I'm in. Okay? I want you to raise your hand if you will agree with me that what this Bible says is right all the time. Okay? I'm not looking around. I'm not going. I don't like to do that. But anyway, I learned some things studying the Bible. Okay, I learned some things studying the Bible. And we're preaching through the Ten Commandments. And I'm just going to be teaching this morning, more than anything, just teaching you maybe some things that you don't know, but then again, maybe some things that we forgot about. Okay? And so anyway, we're down to the fourth commandment. Let's start reading in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, and we'll work our way down to the fourth commandment. God spake all these words, saying, see, you have to believe that. You have to believe that. If you say you believe the Bible, then you believe that God is the one who spoke all these words, and they're God's rules, and they're God's laws, and they're not man's. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? I mean, you might get away with breaking men's laws. You will not get away with breaking God's. It won't happen. Okay? God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You know, I wanted to preach on that. I skipped it or missed it or whatever. There's a beautiful teaching out of the Bible about the third and fourth generational curse. And I believe in curses. Amen? I believe in generational curses too, but I believe they can be lifted. Okay? And I might preach on how they're lifted. It's not hard. Okay? But anyway, verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And you need to ask yourself this question this morning. Do you love God? The first four commandments deal specifically with our relationship to God. And you show how much you love God by how you treat His law and His commandments. Next Sunday morning, now I want you to listen to this. Next Sunday morning, if this is how the Lord leads, I'm on the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. And even if you are an adult child, that does not remove you from the commandment. And if you are a child who is living with your parents, That does not remove you from the commandment. You're to honor your father and mother. And these first four, number five is transitional. Okay? But these first four commandments deal with the proof of whether or not you love God or not. Because you can pat yourself on the back and call yourself a Christian all you want to. But if you live repeatedly in disobedience and utter disobedience and disrespect to God's commandments, then you don't love Him. There's a difference between a child who will break mom and daddy's rules but still understand that they're mom and daddy's rules, and they know that if mom and daddy catch them, they're in trouble. We don't see a lot of that anymore. What we see out of young people is an utter disregard and disrespect for their parents. They despise their parents. They despise their rule and they despise their authority. And in most cases, they're not afraid of getting caught. Now, the problem with that is mom and daddy's not doing anything about it. And that's next Sunday, so I better get off of that. But anyway, this is your love for God, whether or not you'll keep His commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. And then verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And I'm going to ask you a question. Is that what you believe? Now, I'm not playing around with this stuff. If you don't believe the Bible on creation, the Ten Commandments are worthless to you. They're totally worthless to you. Okay? Now it's so easy now to have the Ten Commandments removed out of our schoolhouses. Schoolhouses was teaching you came from monkeys a long time ago. Amen? They do not believe in the creation week as given to us by the Scriptures. Therefore, the Ten Commandments mean nothing to the local school districts in this country. Okay? Means nothing to the National Education Association or the Department of Education. It means absolutely nothing to them. Anyway, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested. I want you to watch this now. And rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay? And so I want to ask you a question. How many of you would like to have a blessing this morning? Say amen. And is it rest a blessing? Okay? Now, 7 days of rest is not a blessing. It's a curse. You're lazy. Amen. Okay? We're on vacation. All right? Amen. Okay? But anyway, it is a blessing to be given rest. It is a blessing when you lay your head down on a pillow at night and you go to sleep. That's a blessing from God. You ought to thank God for that. Amen. So anyway, let's bow to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us and help me to teach and preach this. I've got a few points here, some things that I learned and some things that I'm reminded of in Scriptures. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this church. I thank you for these people. And Father, Lord, you know what's in my heart. You know what's on my heart, God. And Lord, I'm going to bring it to you, God, and I'm going to hand it over to you and say, God, here it is. And Father, I love the truth. I love your ways. They're right ways. And Father, Lord, we have been brought by the society that we live in and the culture we live in. We have been brought, Lord, and we are now very, very far removed away from your law in many cases. And Lord, we forgot how to recognize it. We like to pat ourselves on the back and say how good we are. But the truth of it is, God, we are lawbreakers. We're not law keepers. And Lord, just remind us, dear God, of Lord, how far off, Lord, at times we are from honoring, Lord, even the simplest things in your word. Lord, Father, give us grace and give us forgiveness, dear God. Father, Lord, let there not be any perverse or angry or wicked spirit in this place this morning. And Father, Lord, that your spirit would reign in our hearts. Lord, your spirit is in this Bible. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would honor the reading of your word and the teaching of your word, God. Help it to make sense for us and help us, Lord, to apply it and have it be applied to our lives. Lord, Father, help us as your people to be set apart and be the ones who are honoring you, Lord, though the world fail. Lord, Father, just give us grace. Forgive us of our sins. Lord, Father, renew us in your hope and in your care. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I've got several things here. I'm just going to run down them and teach them and just kind of move through them real quick. And I want to we're going to remember some things that we forgot. Okay, we're going to remember America and America that we don't see anymore. Okay, and I'm going to remind us of it this morning. This is the fourth commandment. It is talking about, and God is sanctioning and blessing and giving to us a day of rest. Now, I have encountered in the last several years, and especially in the last 2 years, a lot of people who have called our ministry, who have written to our ministry. Some of them have been very gracious, and I appreciate that. And I don't want to turn out to be anybody's enemy. I don't want to lay a stone of offense in front of somebody because they've been taught a different doctrine than what I see here plainly in the Scripture. And to those who may be watching us out on the internet, or maybe they're going to watch this sermon some other time, and they are of a Seventh-day Adventist persuasion, I want you to know that I'm not your enemy. I want to be your friend, and I want to help you with the Scriptures. The Seventh-day Adventist movement was started by a woman by the name of Ellen White. There's a lot of shady deals that have been on around here, but I'll tell you something. Ellen White is not an apostle. She was not a prophet. She was no more an apostle and prophet than Joseph Smith and Charles Taze Russell and John Calvin and Jacob Arminius and anybody else. These men and women are not apostles. Joyce Meyer is not an apostle. Benny Hinn's not an apostle. Amen? The apostles and the prophets from are the ones who tell us how things really are, and that's what we're supposed to be following. You be careful about following men. Be careful about following TV preachers or book writers. You be careful about following these people because at some point they may lead you astray. And if you decided that you're going to believe them, I want to tell you something. If God gave you eyes and ears and half a brain, anybody here can read this Bible and figure out the basic doctrines of it. Amen. Amen. And so you just be careful about that. And if you're reading in the Bible and it says something different than what Ellen White says or anybody else says, then close their books and open this one. Get it. It's right. Amen. But I'll tell you something, and this is not very much spoken of by certain of those in that movement. They boast of themselves that they are the Sabbath keepers, that the only ones that got it right, and that everybody has to go to church on Saturday. And if you're not going to church on Saturday, you're probably not saved. That is unbiblical as all get out. What they're telling you is that if you keep the law, then that's evidence that you're saved. If you obey the fourth commandment in their eyes and church services on Saturday, then of course that's obvious that you're saved. And those of us who are going to church on Sunday have the mark of the beast on them. That is what they're telling you. Okay? And that doctrine is to be avoided. That is false doctrine and it's unscriptural. And it takes, you know what it's doing? It's adding a work to grace. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if you call me your best friend in the world. When you start adding works to grace, I'm going to warn you about it. I'm going to do it in love, and I'm going to forbear with you. But if you keep doing it, I'm done. I'm not going to be friends with anybody who's going to put a selling price upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ by saying, you must perform this in order to be saved. I'm done. Can I get an amen out of Bethel Church? I taught in Sunday school about free grace. Why in the world would you think that you had to act, that you had to do something in order to receive something that's already been bought and paid for? And I made this analogy in Sunday school. If somebody gave you Cardinal baseball tickets and you showed up, Bradley, at the ball game with those two tickets, you had Megan on your side, boys going to show her a nice time with them free giveaway tickets that you got. Okay? Well, you're a big spender. Eh? Amen? You told her to stop and get some popcorn on the way up. All right? Anyway, you show up at the gate and they handed them the tickets and they said, now there's a $30 charge on these. It wouldn't fly, would it? Okay? Well, Megan, looks like we're just going to sit in the car and eat popcorn and listen to the game. Amen? It is wicked to add a selling price to something that is free. It is wicked to make somebody perform a work or an act of the law on something that God does not require you to do that for. It's wicked, and I'm not going to stand for it. So I'm just telling you right off the bat, we're not going to go change our service times to Saturday morning at 9:45. Okay? So everybody say amen to that. Okay? And by the way, you've just read the law just like I did, and you've got eyes and ears and half a brain. Amen. Can you show me anywhere where it says we have to attend a congregational service or worship God corporately on one day only? Can you see that in this law? It's not there. And I'm not going to be judged by Ellen White's interpretation of the law. I'm going to be judged by God's law. Amen? That's what we're going to be judged by. Now I got that out of the way. Now watch this. The Sabbath law was written for the benefit of man, whether rich or poor. And I want you to understand this, and we're going to look at it here just a little bit. The Sabbath law was written, and we're going to see the scriptures here. It was written for your benefit. And let me just tell you on a practical realm, on just an idea of practicality, and I'm going to show you how good the law is. God requires us to work. Amen? I know we live in welfare America, and it seems like about half the people, you could probably, how many of you think you could probably name off about 10 people that have gotten disability from the government and they don't need it? Okay? Now I'm glad it's there. It's there for a reason, but we know that it's being abused. Amen? Okay? And somebody said there's half America's divided, half of them work for a living, half of them vote for a living. Okay? Now I'm here to tell you that in a practical realm, work. If you're able to work, work. Work for a living. Your forefathers in this country worked their guts out to pave the way for you to have the lifestyle that you have. Okay? Now I'm not preaching that message this morning, but I will tell you that God, I love work. I love work. I love my work. I like things that it's a blessing when you sit down at the end of the day and you've worked all day long. It's a blessing. It's not, listen, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. But you were not designed to do it 7 days a week. You were not designed to do it 7 days a week. And I'll just, from the practical sense, I'm here to tell you that any of you workaholics out there, that you try to do this for a while. You try working 7 days a week, 10 hours a day. See how long it lasts. You'll burn out like a match. Be nothing left of you. God did that for a reason. He did it both to the rich and the poor. And I want you to notice in this verse here, verse 10, he said, number one, you keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy. You should not do any work. He says later on, servile work. Servile work means gainful employment or going to the job or this and that and the other. That's what that means. But he said, number one, you're not supposed to do any work. Number two, you're not supposed to make your kids get up and do it for you. Hey, where's you kids at? You kids say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're not supposed to make your kids get up and do it for you. And by the way, you're not to make your men servants or your maid servants go out and work while you sit at home and say, I'm keeping the Sabbath. I'm holy. Okay? And I'm just telling you that God blesses us with a day to rest in. Because we were not designed to just keep working and working and working and working and working. And God told them later on, he said, you remember? He said, when it comes down to the Sabbath day and you're not working, but you're out there making your servants work, you remember where you came from in Egypt? They made you work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that was to never, ever let up. And finally, you couldn't take it anymore, and you cried out unto God, and God delivered you out of that kind of bondage. It's not right for you to put somebody else in it, is what he's saying here. Can I get an amen out of somebody? So let's think about our ways for a minute. Okay, because I'm working up to something that we have forgotten. Something we forgot about how to honor and keep the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. We have forgotten that. Okay? So number one, if you have, I have found myself making myself not come over here at least one day a week. Okay? And sometimes I'll just take a day off and accidentally, for some reason, leave my cell phone off. I tell you, I fought getting one of those things. I thought, if I have a cell phone, people's going to call me. Hey, man, you know how it is? Okay? And every now and then, actually, for some reason, some strange reason, I've left my cell phone at home. Nobody's getting a hold of me. Okay? I've got to have that every now and then. I've got to have a day off. Okay? Now, I am not one of those golf-playing preachers. Amen? Okay? You won't... Where's, well, it's Wednesday. Where's Pat? Oh, he's out at the golf course. Oh, he's out doing this and doing that. I love my work here. I love what I'm doing here. I want it to pay off in some way, somehow. I want it to be a blessing to everybody else. But I have to make myself not come over here at least one day out of the week. Because if I do that for too long, I will. I'll burn out like a struck match. There'll be nothing left. And I don't want that. And I want to give you strong encouragement, men and women. God gave you a day. He's not asking you. He's telling you. And sometimes we get all wound up in our work and we get our mind busy on what's going on at the office or what's going on down at the shop or this needs to be done or that needs to be done. And I'm here to tell you, number one, if you work for somebody, God's not asking you. He's telling you to take a day off. Number two, if you run a shop or a business or some kind or another, God's not asking you. He's telling you, you give them at least one day off. Can I get some amens out of somebody? You give them a day off. You treat them how you want to be treated. Amen? See, this Bible is the big referee between the business owner and the worker, between the ranch owner and the ranch hand. This Bible is the referee in both cases. Okay? And it determines. So number one, how many of you agree that taking a day off is a good idea? Let me hear you say amen. Okay? And I'm telling you, God's ways are right. He's doing this for your benefit. For your blessing is what he's doing. Now that's the first thing. Now number two, the Bible, this whole idea of a seventh day of rest is a prophecy of the millennial reign of Christ. The Bible says that Christ is going to come down from heaven one of these days. And I mean, he's kicking tail and taking down names. Amen? And he's done with it. He's had it. He's not going to forbear any longer. He's going to come down. He's going to set everything right. You know what God did with the land of Israel while the Israelites were over in Babylon for 70 years? You know why God said that he took them out of that land for 70 years? You know why God said that? He specifically said the land was supposed to get rest after every... Did you know that? According to the law, every seventh year, the Israelites were not to plant their fields. They were to let the land rest. They were to plant, and God even said, I'll even bless you double the sixth year. I'll bless you on the sixth year so that you won't have to plant on the seventh year. Think about if God blessed you double one year, and it was the intention that he didn't have you plant the next year, why would you plant the next year? Make you a little money. We talked about that in Sunday school. Amen. Okay. God, on the day that when God gave them manna, he gave them a day's worth of manna every day. And on the sixth day, he gave them double the amount. So they went out and gathered on the sixth day the double amount. So on the seventh day, they wouldn't have to. And if they didn't gather the double amount on the sixth day, they were thinking in their mind, oh, I can do it. I can break God's law. God will still feed me. Guess what happened? It didn't rain on the seventh day. No manna. Okay? It didn't work that way. God's law will not be defied by man and get away with it. So you know what God said? I'm going to put you in Babylonian captivity and the land's going to rest 70 years. I'm going to get my Sabbath. Whether you give it to me or not. So watch this. It is a prophecy of the millennial reign of Christ. Now, I want to get through this, but anyway, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 through 11, you write this down and you read it. It talks about a day of rest that is coming to this earth. And here, watch this now, because I believe the literal interpretation of the Bible. I believe God created the universe in 6 days. I didn't say 6 eras. I didn't say 6 billion years. I said 6 days. The evening and the morning were the first day. That's how long they were. And I believe that. And I believe that according to the scripture of genealogies, it was about 6,000 years ago. Did you know Peter said a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day? So watch this. God has ordained his work to be done for 6 days or 6,000 years on this planet right now. And boy, somewhere in the near future, we're fixing to be done with the sixth day. And the Lord's going to come down. And he's going to rule and reign. You know what he's going to do? He's going to give all the kings and the rulers a rest. For a day, for 1,000 years. And God himself is going to be the God of this planet. And he's going to rule over this planet. And this earth is going to rest that day. Whether you say so or not, this earth is going to rest on that day. Can I hear you say amen? So you go study that out for yourself. Now, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 12. There are allowances in the Scriptures of what we can do. One of the things that the Jews were really good at, the Jews were really good at taking the laws of God and saying, you know what, we need to tweak this a little bit. We need to add to it just to make sure that nobody gets away with anything. And so the Jews, according to some things I read, and I don't always trust all this stuff, but I will tell you some things that I have heard. One of the rules that the Jews had on the Sabbath day was you were not supposed to look in a mirror on the Sabbath day. Okay? Some of you, days 1 through 6, probably shouldn't either. But anyway, on the seventh day, you're not supposed to look in the mirror, because if you do, you might see a hair, gray hair, something like that, and pull it out. That's work, and that's forbidden. But they always had their little deals wound into it so they could get out of the law. And Jesus confronted them with that. He said, you made vain the laws of God with your traditions. And so a seventh-day journey was a designated amount of distance that you could travel on the Sabbath day and still be under the law of resting. So they would travel that distance and rest, and then get up and travel that distance and rest, and get up and travel that distance. So they had all their ways of working around the law. There were allowances that God gave us in according to Jesus for the Sabbath day. And I'm getting to some things real quickly, so you just bear with me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And then his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger, and that they were with him, and how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You know what he's telling you here? That even on the Sabbath day, there was some priest that had to make the showbread. That the table of showbread had fresh, hot baked bread on it every single day. One of those priests had to get up early in the morning on the Sabbath day and break and bake that bread and have it placed there on the Sabbath day. Okay? Now he's getting to a point here. He said, they profane the Sabbath and are blameless. Now, verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Somebody say amen. Amen. But if he had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And here they were nitpicking at Jesus because they were walking through the cornfields and they were taking corn. That's not like maize, like corn like we have it here. They were taking stalks of grain and they were taking it and they were rubbing the chaff of it and they were eating it as they walked. They were feeding themselves. And the Pharisees going, ah, lawbreaker! He's breaking the Sabbath. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of what? Think of that millennial reign. Amen, that just fits perfect there. Verse 9, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? So let me stop right here. God does give us 6 days to work, and he intends for us to rest on one day. Okay? Now, if something happens, and you must perform some physical labor, I'm talking about must. Okay? A sheep in a pit is not going to wait till the next day. Okay? Somebody bleeding profusely out of a sore on their arm is not going to wait till the next day to have that. And thank God that we have doctors and nurses and ambulance workers and firefighters that'll work on the Sabbath day. Amen? They'll work. They'll do that. They're on call. Can I hear you say amen? Jesus is telling us. He's telling us to use a little common sense too, by the way.
Yeah.
There are some things that probably need to be done on that particular day. And Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, is giving us an allowance to do those things. Are you with me? Okay? And if you are a business owner and you find that it is absolutely imperative that you must be about the business or about something, you know, a machinery went down and it just absolutely has to be done, there is an allowance for that. Okay? But you know how we do. We tend to lower the standard. Okay, just be able to get by with it, and I wouldn't encourage you to do that. So there is an allowance of things that we can do on the Sabbath day. In verse 12, now I want you to watch this. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Because he had just healed on the Sabbath day. And they're accusing him of work. And he basically, you know what Jesus is saying? You're stupid. And look at what he says. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So keep that in your mind. Write that down in your Bible. Keep that as a principle of your mind. That it is lawful, it's right to do well on the Sabbath day. Can I hear you say amen? If your neighbor needed some help, come over to your house and I've got myself in a bind here and I need you to help me lift something. Go help him. That's your neighbor. Amen. If your wife or your husband needs something, help them. If your children need something, you go help them. It's okay to help people and do good things on the Sabbath day. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? So anyway, let me move down into this here. The question that's always asked me is, what day is the Sabbath day? Now, I want you to see if you can answer this question biblically. What day is the Sabbath day? Huh? Okay. Now, I said answer it biblically. Okay? The seventh day. Okay? The seventh day. Now, I did not have an agenda in searching the Scripture. I searched the word Sabbath and seventh day, and I searched all through the Scriptures. And there's a little fuzziness in my mind yet. Okay? But I will tell you that the Bible designates 6 days to work and rest the seventh. Okay? It never said that the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. It never said that. Okay? It said 6 days and then rest on the seventh. Okay? Now I'm not trying to get away with something here, and I'm going to show you some scripture here in a minute. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 16, verse 29. Okay? Exodus 16, verse 29. We're studying the Bible this morning. How many of you would just want some good biblical understanding? Say amen. Now, this message, you may not be going, hallelujah, I'm getting revival in me. This may not make you shout for joy. But we're building knowledge so that you can have understanding. And one of these days, you're going to need some wisdom. Amen? You're going to need some wisdom. There's going to be a situation come up in your life, and you're going to need some wisdom from God. And God's given you biblical knowledge to base that wisdom on. And like I said, there are some things that I discovered here in the Scriptures that I was not aware of. Okay? And I'm glad now that I know what I know. And then there's some things here that we're going to talk about that I have forgotten about, that God was pretty serious about. Some things that we're guilty of. You ready? Exodus 16, verse 29. The Bible says, see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Okay, now, mind you, back then that they did not name the days of the week as we... Do you know what the days of the week are named after? Pagan gods. How many of you knew that? Sunday was named after the day of the sun. Moon day was named after the god of the moon. Wednesday, you ever see why that's pronounced, that's written funny, Wednesday? It's named after the Norse god Odin, Woden. Thursday was named after Thor. Okay? And Saturday was named after, guess who? Saturn. You know who Saturn really is? Saturn is, the name Saturn is a language derivation of the name Hebrew name Satan. Okay? And so anyway, I'm just kind of sharing that with you. But that's the pattern that you see all throughout the Scriptures, is that God gives you 6 days. He intends for you to rest on the seventh. Now I'm just going to tell you as a practical matter, seeing what we see from the Scripture as a practical matter, if your work schedule requires you to show up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, take Monday off. Does that make sense? Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. We live in a lost world that's run by lost people who do not care about this Bible, and that is manifest. Okay? They don't care about your religious service. They don't care about anything else. All they care about is getting work out of you for 5 or 6 days. And if that is a requirement on you, then so be it. Take that seventh day off, or you'll be hurting as a result of it. Amen? You see, this Bible's right. Now turn to Leviticus chapter 23. It is written in the Scriptures that there are other days other than, let's say Saturday, the seventh day of the week, that there are other days that are designated as being called a Sabbath day. Okay? Not just the seventh day of the week. And that is written in the law. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. And on the 15th day of the same month. Now, how many of you know anything about calendars? The 15th day of January does not ever fall upon the same day every year. Okay? It is on a different day. So on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days must ye eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. There's that phrase, servile work. Okay? So looking in a mirror and pulling a hair out of your nose on the seventh day is not work. Okay? It'll make you cry, but it's not work. Okay? So anyway, but the seven-day period began calendarly on the 15th day of the month. Didn't matter what day that was. Okay? Now look in verse 39. And also in the same chapter, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Okay? Now I like this. We are meeting on the eighth day of the week. Every first day of the week, every Sunday, is not only the first day of a new week, it is the eighth day of a previous week. And the number eight is the number for new life and new beginnings. You see the cycle here. Okay? The eighth day was the day when men were to be circumcised. The number eight has everything to do with salvation and having the old taken off. After the millennial reign of Christ, after 7 days, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's the eighth day, and it's an endless day. Okay, it starts, it begins a new cycle in God's creation, and it's the number of newness. And so here we are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, technically on the eighth day, which according to the law, this was the day of, I think it's the Day of Atonement. It was designated to be a Sabbath. Now, here again, I have a little fuzziness in my mind about it. Some people say that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. I'm not 100% convinced of that, but I can kind of see, according to this, where they get that from. Now, like I said, the Bible does not designate a particular day for us to gather and worship on. We can pick any day that we want to. Do you believe that? Say amen. Okay? But let's say, watch this now. Let's do this. And here's what I'm getting at, and I'm almost done. We have decided as a people to set this day right here aside as the Lord's day. Amen? And every Sunday, we're going to show up here, we're going to unlock the doors, turn the air conditioner on or the furnace or whatever, and get this place ready for you to show up to come in into His house on the Lord's day. Okay? Could this not be our Sabbath? Okay? By and large, most of you have a schedule. Okay? Bradley, you have a schedule. Brady, you have a schedule. Jared, you have a schedule. Even you retired guys have a schedule, okay, where you decide you're going to knock off work that day, and you're going to come and let this be your Sabbath day of rest and give it over to the Lord. How many of you would agree with that and give consent to that? Say amen. Okay? I believe that allowance is in the Scripture here. So I'm not trying to preach anything false or heretical or contrary to the law. And if that's the case, I want us to go back about 20 years or 30. Now, we'll have to go back farther than that. Let's go back about 30, 35 years in this country. Okay? I want you to take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter 13 while we're thinking about that. Nehemiah chapter 13. And really, I'm almost done. But we've forgotten the America that used to be. In fact, I'll take you all the way back to the 1600s and 1700s. When the Puritan forefathers came over and settled this land, they built communities. And they even wrote laws. One of them was called Ye Old Satan Deluder Law. They actually wrote laws before they ever got off the ship, and they were determining how they were going to govern themselves once they got on land. And in almost every case, they consented that how they were going to govern themselves was going to be based upon the Bible. And so when they gathered in the, let's say, Jamestown community, when they gathered together on Sunday, when Sunday morning rolled around, there was not a shop open. There was not a store. There was not a farmer out tilling. There was nothing. In fact, they had a man that went through the town and the village during the Lord's Day on Sunday just to make sure that nobody had a business open. They were serious about it. Okay? And there would have been a severe penalty for anybody who would have done trade or merchandising or any kind of servile work on the Lord's Day. They made sure that while everybody else was in church, they made sure those doors were closed. Okay? I can remember a time in this country when the day before Christmas, you made sure you had plenty of gas in your car. And you had milk in the refrigerator. Okay? Because nobody was going to be open on Christmas Day. Nobody. Thanksgiving, same way. Okay? Nobody was going to have any businesses open on these holidays. I remember a time and grew up in a time when on Saturday you bought all your bread, your milk, your eggs, everything that you were going to need, and you topped off your gas tank in your car. Because when you went out on Sunday, it's like you'd see just, you know, stuff rolling in the streets like you'd see in an old Western. Okay, tumbleweed floating down. Because all the doors were closed, all the shopkeepers' lights were off, and nobody was conducting business on Sunday. How many of you remember those days? Say amen.
Amen.
That fact, it was actually, you remember what they called blue laws? It was actually the law of the state of Missouri. Okay? And then it was a law. It used to be a law that even if you had a shop that was open on Sunday, you could not sell liquor on Sunday. How many of you remember that?
Amen.
If I wanted to buy a bottle of Bud Light right now, I'd walk down to the gas station and get all I want. And it's the Lord's Day. And I want to tell you, let me read this law again so you can hear this. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant. You know what a maidservant and manservant is? It's those that wait on you. Restaurants were not open on Sunday. Stores, Walmart was not open on Sunday. Gas stations were not open on Sunday. Video rental places were not open on Sunday. Bait shops were not open. Oh, they might have been, I don't know. But nobody had a business open on Sunday. That's the America we grew up in, and that's the one we remember with fondness. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if anybody said, man, I hated those days. We couldn't shop on Sunday. I don't know of anybody who ever looks back at those times with anger. Because we lived in an America that recognized that God's ways were right.
Yeah.
And that it was decent and nice to give everybody a day of rest. And then Monday morning, open the doors back up, turn the lights on, put the open sign out, and you can start doing business again. That's the way it used to be in this country. Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah and Ezra are two chapters in the Bible. If you want to see what revival looks like, this is what it looks like. Because they're coming back from Babylonian captivity. And they're reviving the law. And they're reviving the Passover. And they're reviving God's ways. They've lived in the land with strangers all their lives. And now they're coming back and they're restarting God's ways over again. Look at Nehemiah chapter 13. In verse 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath. And bringing in sheaves and lading asses. See, God even said, don't even put burdens on your cattle. Lading asses, and also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Why would they bring them into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day? What were they doing, Bradley? Bringing them in to sell on the Sabbath day. Now, I will tell you, it wasn't the churches of America that decided we didn't want the Sunday laws anymore. It was the businesses. The love of money is what? They decided there was a whole day that nobody was making any money. Now that's why we see that on Christmas Day they're open, on Thanksgiving Day they're open, and on every other what they used to be called holidays, they're now open because they're going, you know what? There's another day we can make another dollar. It's greed. is what it is. It's sickening when you stop and think about it. And you know what? You know what you're going to hear them complain about? I guarantee you. November rolls around. You're going to hear the news reports coming out saying businesses are disappointed that their forecasts are not being met for the Christmas sales holiday, the Christmas sales deal. You know what they're telling you? Feel bad for us and go out and buy a bunch of stuff. They release the same story every November that, oh, it's bad. Oh, we're not making any money this Christmas season. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, my goodness. And you know what that is intended to do? Make people feel bad and go out and buy a bunch of junk. You think I'm kidding you? Why is it that they rolled out these laws and said, we want to be open on that day? And so the businessmen could make more money off of you. Now, we may not ever see them closing Walmart and the Phillips station down here on Sunday. But you don't have to give them any money. I got one, that's right. You don't have to. So they rolling in on the Sabbath day, and look what he said. I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. Had one man stand up and said, you know what? That's not right. This is the Lord's Sabbath. He has commanded us and given us a blessing that we should rest on this day. And you know what he recognized? He recognized that they were fixed. The camel's nose was under the tent. When the camel gets his nose in the tent, he's coming in. And he recognized it here. And he said, you know what's going to happen? You start coming in here selling. Then, lo and behold, everybody else in the city will want to be selling too. And there all of a sudden, watch this now. All of a sudden, there will be no Sabbath day. Is that what happened? How many of you get a Sunday paper? You get sale ads in there. Sales begins Sunday. Best Buy will run computers on sale. Cut the price in half. And Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, there's people beating down the doors trying to get in there to get them. Because if you show up on Monday, you're not getting them. They're gone. And they know that. So look at here, verse 16. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath day unto the children of Judah in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing, look what he's calling it. What evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut. Now, you know what he said? Friday night, we shut the gates. We're closing down. So he said, I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they should not be opened at all till after the Sabbath. Saturday night, we can open them back up again. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. In other words, they kept showing up. And they would wait, hopefully, that open the gates and let them come out, let them go in and sell stuff. Look at this. He said, verse 21, then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I'll lay hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath day. You know what he did? He run them out. So you're not going to take away the very reason that God put us in captivity to begin with is because we wouldn't keep the Sabbath. He said, now we're back in the land and God's given us back to us. And listen to me now, because here's the message right here. All he's asking you is for one lousy, stinking day asking of you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's only asking what? He said, I'll give you all sick. You go out and work your guts out if you want to. You go out and make a fortune for 6 days. One day is mine. And God had already told him, I'm a jealous God now. I'm a jealous God. I'm giving you the Sabbath for your benefit because you don't know when to stop. And if greed will take over you, you just want to keep making money, keep making it. He said, I'm cutting it off. And I'm asking you for one day. And when it comes to tithing, what's he asking for? Allows him 10 cents on a dime, on a dollar. That's all he's asking for. And with the Sabbath, God is asking for one day. And we act like it's some big deal to give God one day out of the week when He has given you all the rest of it. So watch this now. We're here on what day of the week? First day of the week. So listen to what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Watch it now. You give God today, and God said, I'll give you six after that. That's a pretty good deal. That is a pretty good deal. Don't get greedy and try to take all seven of them. Now remember, there's allowances, things that have to be done. I understand that. I don't get all bent out of shape over that. Every now and then, I'll put in a lot of hours here. Something has to be done. I'm over here. I'm not going to say, I'm not, that's the Sabbath. My clock don't run on this. I'm not going to do that. And I don't encourage you to do that. Don't be stupid. Amen? But God says, give me one day. And actually, it's really for you. So I'm just making you stop so you'll rest. And you give me that day and not be greedy on that day. And I'll bless you the other six. How many believe God will do that? Say amen. How many believe that God will do what He said and bless you double on the sixth day so you don't have to do anything on the seventh? If the American businessman would learn that principle, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now. Do you think God's kidding with America? None of our businesses are doing well in this country. You know why? And when did it start? About the time they started opening on Sunday. Am I right? You stop and think about it. About the time that they decided to get greedy and have one more day. See, God just cannot be defied, can He? Okay? So I'm just giving you something to think about today. I like I said, and by the way, Psalm 92, just write that down. That is a song for the Sabbath. I found that in there. I was going to read it to you, and I don't have time. You go home and read it, Psalm 92. It's a song for the Sabbath. It was designated for the Lord's Day. Now, I'm going to do what I said. I need some prayer time. Okay? So I'm going to come down here to this old mourner's bench, and I'm going to have me a little talk with Jesus this morning. Okay? You know what I'm doing? I've been carrying some burdens for 6 days. And I'm going to lay them aside on the seventh. And I'm going to give them to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, like I said, if you've got burdens you're carrying, come give them. If you just want to come pray with me, then you come down here. But we're going to have a time of prayer. All right? I'm going to pull my microphone off because I don't want everybody hearing what I'm praying. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him
might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.